You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper.
Trick or treat, Bearcats touchdown!
What is happening in Death Valley?
Record breaker and surging with this comeback.
It's going to be a touchdown, Michigan State Hayward. Can you spell disaster for Michigan?
A lot of tricks and treats going on out there today. Happy Halloween.
Right down Broadway, and a Halloween winner.
Let's see fly. It's a touchdown. Sanders in trouble. Osai twists and hits him. It ends the game. Texas takes down number six.
203 receiving yards, four touchdowns. None of them are his personal highs.
Throw, jump, ball, catch, made, touchdown, Olave! Trying to get it to him, one-handed highlight plays from Dotson.
Impressive from start to finish by Ohio State.
One more action-packed weekend of college football in the books. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this Election Day edition of College Football Live with Joey Galloway and Greg McElroy. I'm Wendy Nix. We will go out of the tunnel to start, and in doing so, tell you the SEC has fined Dan Mullen. The reason, of course, the coach involved in the brawl over the weekend, his role in Saturday's brawl with Missouri, so he'll have to write a check, $25,000. And we can make it two straight, unfortunately, for Wisconsin. They will have to cancel Saturday's home game against Purdue. It will not be played, and all team-related activities remain paused indefinitely. The Badgers' first shutdown last Wednesday, followed by Saturday's game at Nebraska, being called off. Here's Wisconsin Athletic Director Barry Alvarez.
We started with a few positives earlier in the week. I felt very confident if we continued that we had things that we're getting things under control. But in the last 3 days, we had, if I count them right, 11 positives in the program. It just didn't feel as though we had our arms around it and had things controlled as I thought we needed. And, you know, again, keeping your priorities in order, the health and safety of our student athletes and staff is top priority.
The team has to play at least six Big Ten games to qualify for the conference championship. What's your level of concern about whether the numbers can be contained at this point and the team can finish out the season just to give itself a chance at that?
I'm concerned with the health and safety of the guys. I there's no one wants to be on that field any more than I do, but I'm not going to lose track of priorities. We don't leave ourselves much wiggle room right now. And we know that, but hopefully we can get this corralled and we can get back in back on the field and playing.
And a statement from Purdue Athletic Director Mike Bobinski. While we looked forward to our game this weekend against Wisconsin, we understand the Badgers' decision to cancel based on medical advice and their need to control any additional transmission of the virus within their team and staff. The health, well-being, and safety of all student-athletes, coaches, and staff remains the top priority for the entire Big Ten and will continue to guide decision-making. Here's Ohio State coach Ryan Day earlier today.
Hey, Wisconsin just canceled their game with Purdue. Do you feel like every time you play, it's a victory?
Sort of, yeah. It's week to week. It's day to day for sure. And, I mean, you hold your breath all week. You hold your breath the day of. So, yeah.
Joey, look, you heard Barry Alvarez say they knew there wasn't a lot of wiggle room. We knew that, too. So, not hugely unexpected, but certainly an unfortunate situation for Wisconsin. And, you know, if you're a betting man, you have to think the first of a lot of this as we try to make our way through the next 6-8 weeks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And as you look at the Big Ten,
Of course, Ohio State is a team that we talk about on a national scale. But, you know, after the first game of Wisconsin and the way they looked with Graham Mertz as their quarterback, they were another team that we were talking about had a chance to challenge Ohio State for the Big Ten championship and definitely the best looking team in the Big Ten West. And so now they've had to cancel two games. The question is, will they get in six games and be able to even play in the Big Ten West, in the Big Ten championship game coming out of the West? So it is unfortunate. We sort of knew that these kind of things were going to happen. It's just unfortunate that it's happened two straight weeks, and everyone's hoping that it can get back for the third week and get their games in.
Well, you listen to Barry Alvarez. He's talking about it's all about the health and safety of the players. Well, ultimately, I just feel bad for the players, man. They went through an extended offseason period watching other teams playing. And now, as soon as they've been given the opportunity to go out there and compete, they aren't able to do so because they're hampered with the virus. So I'm not trying to say the football should be ahead of the virus or anything like that. I'm not suggesting that at all. I just feel bad for the guys. I mean, ultimately, you are out there. The likelihood of you having any complications from this is remarkably small, knowing your age. And I just feel bad for them, understanding they put a lot of time and effort into this. Then after what was a great start and momentum-building win, they've now been sidelined for 2 weeks, and they'll likely be difficult to kind of restart that momentum all over again when they pick it back up, whenever that day may be.
Look, I think that's likely the prevailing sentiment, Greg. You do. I mean, it's been an emotional roller coaster for these players, a lot of these players, but certainly in the Big Ten, where the season was initially canceled. Listen, let's talk about Clemson now as we switch gears to games where they were able to play, the Tigers hosting Boston College over the weekend, and they did so with backup quarterback DJ Uiagalelei, who was impressive in place of Trevor Lawrence. He's sidelined for COVID reasons. Here's Dabo Swinney on his backup quarterback.
As far as Trevor, he's doing great. He really is. He's in the meetings. He's zooming in and all that stuff. He's doing well. He's just anxious to get out, and I think he gets back with us either Thursday or Friday, and so he'll be with us. He'll travel with us, and, you know, he just can't play because of the cardiac back-to-play protocol that's in place. So, you know, just no way to get through that in time for him to play the game. So he should be back in practice after the game and, you know, ready to go against Florida State.
Just having Trevor on the sideline, what will that be able to do to help DJ out, and what do you feel like his presence will mean on the sideline?
Well, he's an incredibly knowledgeable guy, and he's been there. So I just think, you know, he'll be able to bring a good presence, you know, to DJ, and he's got a great mind. He's got great eyes. He's going to be Coach Lawrence, and Skalski's going to be with us as well. So we'll have Coach Lawrence and Coach Skalski this week.
That was Dabo, of course, actually starting about his starting quarterback. Now, about the backup, he was impressive. Blitzing quarterbacks, though, it has not gone well so far for teams who tried to do that against Clemson. He threw for 110 yards and two touchdowns against Boston College's blitz on Saturday. And this season, DJ completed a higher percentage of passes than Lawrence, but has not taken as many shots down the field. Look, Greg, you had the call. You were in Death Valley for Saturday's game. What did you take away from the young quarterback's debut, understanding that he'll have another start up next, Notre Dame?
Well, one down, one to go, because I thought he played really well, Wendy. But against Notre Dame, obviously the caliber of the competition is going to ramp up significantly, and DJ Uiagalelei is going to have to be able to handle the pressure that Notre Dame's going to bring at him. The good news is he did so pretty well last week against Boston College. Here's pressure off the right-hand side, no problem. He knows it's not blocked. He knows he's got a free guy in his face. He's got to beat that defender, the blitzer, with the throw. He does so, a lot of poise, no problem whatsoever, hits ETN in stride, and he's out the gate. He also showcased what was a remarkably strong arm. Third and 16. You see the safeties. He's keying them. That safety is going to rotate to the back of the middle of the field. The safety on the left is going to rotate basically to the top of the tiger paw. Well, that tiger paw safety, it needs to be influenced. So he gives a little bit of a pump fake to the left to get that tiger paw safety moving, and boom, he threads the needle 18 yards downfield and in stride to Amari Rodgers right before that safety after he influenced him. And then here on a critical down and distance, second half of the football game, they call a zone read on fourth and one. A lot of young quarterbacks just hand this off. not DJ Uiagalelei. He reads the end man on the line of scrimmage very calmly and under control, pulls it because of the defender crashing towards the running back. He takes it to the distance, and at 6'4", 250 pounds, that dude moving in the open field is a problem for defenses. So I thought he displayed a lot of poise in difficult circumstances last week against Boston College, but he's going to have to get off to a better start with his teammates because Notre Dame's a team, Joey, that's built to play with the lead, and if they start slow, they likely won't be able to come back and pick up from an 18-point deficit like they did last week.
I agree, and if I'm a young quarterback, I hope you blitz. Because if you blitz, you're playing man-to-man coverage. I know all I'll do is find my best playmaker, which last week was ETN, getting the ball out in space and let them do the rest of the work. The concern in watching Clemson last week was the way their defense played in the first half. You know, and Coach Mitch Gostkowski being out, that's going to hurt them on the defensive side. You know, they gave up over 200 yards and 28 points in that first half. They let Boston College go 4-for-6 on third down. Now, they woke up. Shut them out in the second half, didn't let them convert a third down in that second half, held them to 60 yards, which is very impressive. But just like you mentioned, Greg, if they start off like that against a team like Notre Dame that runs the ball well, that goes play action, that doesn't put themselves in bad mistakes and have a really good offensive line up front with running backs behind them, you won't come back from a deficit the way they did against Boston College. So the start on the defensive side is really more key for Clemson because offensively, they look like a team that was ready to go. You couldn't tell that Trevor Lawrence wasn't in there. So defensively, they better wake up and be ready from the start of this game all the way through the finish.
Unlike what we saw against Boston College, you're absolutely right, Joey. It was a tale of two halves, to say the least. Clemson looked like an entirely different team, especially defensively when they came back out for that second half. With that, though, we'll take a look at our college football rankings brought to you by Chick-fil-A. And not surprisingly, though, the Tigers, with the win over BC, they hold on to the top spot in this week's AP poll by 2 points over Alabama. But don't sleep on BYU, who jumped 2 more spots to number 9, the program's first appearance in the top 10 since 2009. Ole Miss freshman tight end DeMarcus Thomas was airlifted to the hospital this week after he was injured in practice. This happened on Monday. The school said in a statement that Thomas later regained movement after what was a scary situation in all his extremities, and he's being released from the hospital after all his tests came back normal. This was not always the case, so exceptionally good news. Here's Coach Lane Kiffin.
This was not something normal. So, you know, to hear a player that you recruited, and any player, but one that you recruited, and him to, you know, they keep touching him. Do you feel this? Do you feel this? And he keeps saying no. And you're thinking about your own kid. And, you know, I don't know. That's the first time I've seen something where I just called Knox's mom and said I could care less whether he ever plays football ever after seeing that.
Kiffin, understandably emotional. Last night, Kiffin offered his thoughts via Twitter. Prayers answered. So happy for DeMarcus and his family. Keep praying for his recovery. A great job by Pat and all the people that helped care for him today. Great news, of course, on the young player. Coming up, Michigan is coming off the school's worst loss in 13 seasons. You can hear what Jim Harbaugh needs to change about his program to compete with Ohio State.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
To Michigan now, where Jim Harbaugh's team suffered the most shocking upset in his tenure in Ann Arbor, perhaps anyway, the Wolverines losing at home to unranked Michigan State as 3 touchdown favorites. Here's the coach after being asked if he was comfortable with being the savior of football, and now 6 years later.
Well, as I said at the time, I don't, I'm part of a team. I didn't consider myself to be a savior then or now. Part of a team, I think, I mean, I'm not going to go back over the last 5.5 years, but love coaching this team. I think before John, obviously coming off a tough loss. It was a gut-wrenching loss on Saturday. You can't dwell on it. And just like anytime we've had a win here, we got to move on quickly to the next game. And same with a loss, you know. Win a game, come back on Monday and try to do the same, you know, try to do it again.
Harbaugh is now 1-6 at home against Ohio State and Michigan State. Against every other team in the Big House, well, he's 29-0. The Wolverines will look to get back on track Saturday when they travel to number 13, Indiana. But, of course, for this Michigan team, it's all about competing with Ohio State. Greg, what has to happen for that to be a realistic situation for Michigan?
Well, a few years back, I would actually have told you, and I don't know if Joey would agree, but I think back in 2016 when JT Barrett was the quarterback and they won the game by 1/4 of an inch, that Michigan roster was actually better than Ohio State's that season. Now, fast forward here 4 years from now, and we have seen Ohio State recruit back-to-back first-round picks at quarterback, and if you want to include Joe Burrow, who transferred to LSU, you could include that as well. Ohio State has better personnel. And right now, we are trying to hold Michigan to a standard that Ohio State and them are relatively equal. They're not. And especially at the quarterback position, because if there's one thing we know is that Ohio State and Michigan's personnel along the defensive line, and particularly on the defensive side of the football, they've been somewhat comparable, except Ohio State has first-rounders, and then you have Michigan, they got third and fourth rounders. And in some cases, yes, they do have some first rounders. But the quarterback position, especially in recent years, has been a massive difference maker. So what Michigan needs to do, they either have to figure out a way to match the personnel quality that Ohio State's bringing in, year out of the recruiting trail, or they need to become innovative offensively. And they need to neutralize that talent advantage by doing something completely innovative. And right now, it doesn't appear as though Jim Harbaugh is willing to do that. He's just running the RPO stuff that everybody else is, and it's not really that forward thinking.
I think we're holding Michigan to the standard that they set. I mean, when you think about the history of college football and winning programs, Michigan's resume is as good as anyone. And so we're expecting that program to be at a level of everybody across the country, not just Ohio State, but Clemson, Alabama, the LSUs of the world. We expect Michigan to be there. And so they've been talented. They've recruited well. And you're right. When you look at their offense, unless they have those games where they run the ball for 200 yards, 250 yards, like they did the first week against Minnesota, it's been an offense that lacks the home run. The passing game has not been explosive. And until it is, they're going to struggle anytime they play someone with as much talent or more. They won't be able to win those games. And that's where their struggle has been.
All right, guys, let's take a look, continue to look at some of the other fallout from week 9 in Upon Further Review. And we talked about Michigan's loss, Wisconsin's COVID situation, Penn State falling to 0-2. So, you know, let's talk about Ohio State. Is that the Big Ten's only option here realistically for the college football playoff?
I think they are. I mean, I think when you look at Ohio State, they have incredible talent and depth, and there's not anyone right now. It's almost somewhat similar to a normal year with Clemson's gap amongst the field. Like Clemson against the rest of the ACC, the gap is this wide. It's starting to feel that way a little bit with Ohio State. That gap has widened in the last couple years, and their talent on both sides of the ball is truly remarkable.
Joey, let's look at Oklahoma State, their loss to Texas, and what that means.
I think it eliminates the Big 12 from the discussion. Now, I saw the numbers. There's like a 1.5 chance that somebody out of the Big 12 could get there, but it doesn't seem likely now. Not just Oklahoma State losing, but Kansas State, which was ranked number 16, they also lost. So both top 20 teams in Big 12 have lost, and I think the conference lost itself.
We're looking forward, of course, to the Pac-12 getting underway this weekend, but the MAC will start even sooner. It's on Wednesday. We'll have Ohio and Central Michigan at 7 Eastern. That game on ESPN. Buffalo and Northern Illinois on ESPN2 and at 8 on ESPNU. Bowling Green takes on Toledo. Mac Wednesday also streaming live on the ESPN app. But up next on this election day, we were one vote shy of something happening atop the college football poll that hasn't happened in 18 years. Stick around to find just what it is.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
Time now for this week's ultimate performance presented by BMW. Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith caught 11 passes for 203 yards, scoring 4 touchdowns in a 41-0 blowout of Mississippi State. The Crimson Tide playing their first game since losing fellow top wide receiver Jaylen Waddle, who's out for the season. Tuesdays on ESPN, the College Football Playoff Top 25 show previews the season ahead and, of course, how it could impact the rankings, which will first be revealed on Tuesday, November 24th. Reese Davis hosts the show 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, and Oregon coach Mario Cristobal a guest coming up tonight. Right now, though, time to discuss the Capital One fan vote. We were one vote away from the first tie at AP number one. That has not happened in 18 years. Who's your top team? Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, or Notre Dame? Go to twitter.com/SportsCenter to check out this week's Capital One fan vote. But Greg, look, everybody agreed, at least today among us, that Clemson is the top team. So we're not going to talk about that. Instead, I'll ask you your dark horse to round out the top four should they change.
Well, let's not sleep on Cincinnati. We all know what's going on in the Power Five, but Cincinnati's quietly putting together a remarkably dominant season. On several different occasions, they've gone up against quality competition, and they have absolutely shut them down with their defense and run game. But now we fast forward to the midway point of the 2020 campaign, and Desmond Ridder is starting to come on. If he plays like that, this team's going to be almost impossible to beat. So what I propose, and I'd love to get Joey's take on this, let's get them scheduled against either BYU or Texas A&M on December 19th. Let's have a play-in game for that fourth spot potentially.
I agree with you about Cincinnati, and they've been fun to watch with their defense, and then the game Ridder just had accounting for 5 touchdowns. But another team to keep your eye on is Texas A&M, which you just mentioned. Their ability to run the ball makes them different this season. In past seasons, they were all Kellen Mond, they were all passing. Now Isaiah Spiller and the way this offense can run the ball, now all of a sudden you have to pay attention to what they're doing. So keep your eye on Texas A&M as well as Cincinnati.
All right, Joey, we look forward to seeing you tonight on the first College Football Playoff Rankings show. Again, no practice today because everybody needed to vote. If you haven't already, go.